Heavy rains once again hit Gaza this week, flooding thousands of tents and leaving families without proper protection from the elements. Two Palestinians were killed on Wednesday evening in eastern Deir al-Balah in central Gaza in an Israeli attack that targeted civilians, according to medical sources at the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital. On Tuesday, a Palestinian was killed in an Israeli drone attack in Gaza City, according to the Wafa news agency. The Palestinian Ministry of Health in Gaza says that as of February 25th, 618 Palestinians have been killed and more than 1,600 injured since the so-called ceasefire agreement went into effect last October. Writing in Middle East Eye this week, journalist and researcher Maha Husseini reports that, quote, despite the relative lull in large-scale bombardment, attacks have not fully ceased. On the first 2 days of Ramadan, the Israeli military killed two Palestinians and injured four others across the Gaza Strip.
Listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Engineering Committee meets on the first Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Here we go again, it's the game we love.
Play game.
You are listening to KBOO Community Radio, and this is Winners Bias, America's first, best, and only live board game radio show.
Until proven otherwise.
A show about board games and totally keeping the alliances you made with the other players. I'm one of your hosts, Nate, and with me is my buddy, James. How are you doing, James?
Oh, no, I'm having a pretty good day today. How are you doing?
I also am having a pretty good day today, mostly because I beat you yesterday
during James' games. By 1 point.
By 1 point. And I beat Andrea, my wife, by 1.5 points. It was a very close game. We'll get to that in a moment. Mm. As a reminder, you can comment on our show live using the OLARC messaging system of KBOO.fm. Just click on the Chat With Us button in the lower right corner of the window. So, just me and James again today, you know.
Sorry about that, everyone.
Sorry, yeah, you know, that just means I've been lazy and, you know, we don't expect anything of James to arrange anything, so it just means I've been lazy about getting guests, you know, I apologize. But this is great because I had a board game weekend the other week and some topics came up during that. And
we've been a busy board game boy.
Busy board game boy. And we had James games last night.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while since we got to play.
I think that was, is it the first James games of the year?
Maybe.
It might be.
Oh my goodness. Aside from Clock Tower, obviously.
Yeah, that doesn't count anymore.
That doesn't count because that's just us all the time, every month. So just really quickly talking about James games. I gave James a list of games.
You did.
And James picked one without knowing anything about it.
As he am to do.
And he picked Sulcan, the Mayan calendar, which is my number 11 game of all time, at least as of this most recent year.
Was this year the first time you played it? You've only just started playing this game?
No, it's my number 11 game of all time.
But you might have started playing it this and it went into 11.
No.
Like, I don't know when you first played this game.
I played it years ago.
Oh, okay.
That's how it got to 11. You don't put a game at number 11 after playing it for the first time yesterday.
I didn't. Oh, maybe 3 months ago.
Yeah. No. This is great. One of my favorite designers, Simone Luciani. Barrage, my number 2 favorite game. Co-designed that. Voyages of Marco Polo, my number 12 game. Maybe number 10. Help co-design that. And it's a game that's got a really cool board that has a bunch of gears on it that twist. You put workers on them, and then every round they twist. And as the workers rotate around the gears, the actions that you can take with those workers get stronger and stronger. There's like a whole bunch of timing involved with it. Several paths to go up, buildings you can buy. And how'd it go for you, James? First of all, you asked for something not too heavy.
Yeah, I didn't want to go into my first James game of the year, something super heavy. I was feeling something lighter. And I meant like lighter than what this game was. I was like, in my head, I'd rather do multiple light short games instead of one big heavy game.
Yeah, so I
didn't tell you that part, but
I did have like a medium game planned. And actually, this one, the game's not too hard to learn.
No.
It's like very simple. Put a worker out, take people back. It's like pretty simple process.
It's daunting though.
But the decision space and like the timing of it all, it's, you know, that's pretty tough. But like learning the game wasn't too bad. Playing the game wasn't too bad. But I did have a quicker one that would have to pick, but you didn't pick that one.
Well, no. I picked this one because I did not know anything. I was like, I don't even know if that's a word. I feel like you made that word up to Zolkin, if that's how you say it.
And I think it's just Zolkin.
Zolkin?
Yeah.
I was like, I'm just going to go for that. As you said, I looked nothing up about it and just done.
So it sounds like it's on you.
Yeah. It's definitely. I mean, you knew what kind of games I like to play.
Mm-hmm.
And you were like, I'm going to slide. It's a worker placement game, which is on the bottom of my pile of games I like. And you were like, I'm going to put that multiple worker games in the list of games you gave me.
Well, worker placement games often, not always, tend to be fairly straightforward to learn. Because you're basically like, you put a worker on the spot and you get to do this thing. And like, that's it. It's like pretty easy. Now, again, the sequencing of it is what you don't like, where you're like, well, I have to plan ahead because I'll let you speak for yourself.
No, I don't like to plan ahead because I've complained about it many times before that you need to do something to win. But to do that to win, you need to do something else. But you can't do that until you do something else. And you can't do that until you do something else. You have to plan steps and steps and steps ahead. And as what happened last night, planning steps and steps and steps ahead, I got to the end of my steps and someone snuck that from me.
Yeah.
And it ruined the whole plan.
There are buildings you exchange resources for and the buildings were taken from James.
Yeah, my one building I wanted at the end, which would have got me the game.
Would have got you the game. So but again, like, thank you, Andrea.
10 points. 10 points I would have run by.
I know. Instead, you had to lose to me. Which
by one.
Which I needed because you have been beating me so much in the James games. So I just needed this.
Yeah, that's fair. I did it on purpose then to make you feel
but
better.
You played a great game. You like didn't get any more workers. You only had 3 to my 6 workers, and you still like you had a really good system going of generating in-game points. I thought you played just fantastic game, James.
Well, thank you.
You have really good instincts. You were paying attention to what other players were doing, and I think you're selling yourself short. I think, you know, Maybe you don't love the experience, but I think maybe you can hone that craft a little bit.
I mean, I feel like a lot of the worker placement games, I come out of it enjoying it more than I thought I would. I mean, I know when I saw the game and I sat down to play the game and you were telling me the rules, I was like, I want to back out. Can I back out of this? I am not going to like this game. I went into it grouchy. Yeah. I was like, I don't want this kind of game. I'm not going to enjoy this game. This game's going to be silly. But I'm not going to win.
James, the gears, they turn on the board.
As is known by the Aztecs, they love their gears.
Mayans.
They love. Oh, that's why.
The Mayan calendar.
Oh. That's why that joke was funny. That's like, I finally got the joke I did last night.
So, you know, you said that the experience of buying, having the thing you wanted taken away from you, it didn't make you feel so good.
No, yeah. I was talking to you earlier. I felt like I hit it pretty well, but I was pretty distraught. That I feel I was doing pretty well, and I was like, you know what, I might win this. I just need this one last building. It wasn't the best building in the game. I was like, no one else would go for that. You won't get the most points of it. It doesn't do the most things, but that could get me the win. So it's like, it's going to get me more points for like the in-game points, and then points for the after-game points. And then your wife snuck it just because she had the right. She's like, oh, I don't know what else to do. I guess I could buy this building.
Yeah, well, she wanted the points too.
No, it was like a second. It's like, oh, I might as well do this. And I was like, no, that's what I have to do.
She was like, I may as well do this. But, I mean, it was the right call.
It was the right call. It was the right call. She didn't do it just to get back at me. She did it because it was the right call for her, which I can admit that's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine. Don't even worry about it. Well, that kind of brings us to one topic that I wanted to explore, because during the board game weekend, I played a whole bunch of games, several of which I probably never would have played, by choice, but that's what you do at board game weekends, and it's great because you get exposed to stuff, and this is something I might talk about a little bit later, but you get exposed to stuff, and it's like, oh, wow, that was amazing. However, there is one game in particular that broke me in a big way. It was called Alderman. I don't want to get too much into the details of it all, but basically you're traveling around collecting and buying resources and then delivering those resources to another place. It's what's called a pickup and deliver game. You pick up resources and you deliver them elsewhere. And each city you can stop in had like up to 6 different actions you could do on each city. Some of them were just the same types of actions, but so you could buy resources, or you could, I don't know, do any
you
other thing.
You could pick up resources, you could chop off.
Yeah, but it's not all just resources. There was resources. Other stuff to do. I don't know. The game took like 5 hours and it broke me. And what would happen is I would get all the resources I needed to deliver, and I would be not in the right place to deliver it. And you can only do one action at each city that you stop in. So I would be like in the city, ready to deliver, and I can't deliver there, and I would have to leave the city, but you have to do an action at the other place you do, and that would force me to like spend one of the resources I had collected. Or I just kept getting into a position where I could never do the sale that I wanted to do to get the money I needed to be able to do other things. And so I had no money, and I had nothing but resources that I couldn't get rid of. I could not unload them because I'd been in the wrong space. And I was just constantly looking around the board. My AP was worse than it ever been. It was, you know, almost 1 o'clock by the time we finished. I was just laughing at how ineffectual I was at playing this game. The other people were laughing at me for just being so bad at it. There was one time where they were trying to help me get resources, and I just needed a meat. And earlier in the game, like 3 turns before, I was flush with meat, but I had gotten rid of all of it, and I had been complaining about how I don't need meat. And then when I finally needed it, I didn't have it, and everyone laughed at me. And it was so frustrating. Fortunately, I was bemused by it and not like totally like losing my mind, but I'm like, I never want to look at this game again.
So it was very much like user error. It was all on you. It went wrong because of what you were doing.
Partially it was because the areas with the buildings could change. So you might be ready to deliver something somewhere, and then it changes too.
Does and it change so, randomly, or does someone else make it change?
Yes.
Yes.
It okay. could happen. So like... So
other people could mess with
it. Yeah, you can move things around. So sometimes it was my fault, sometimes it wasn't my fault, and it was just in a game that long, way more frustrating than in a much shorter game where you're just like, ah, that's okay. It's like, but oh my gosh. And it made me think of like other times where I've almost lost it. Like fortunately in this case, I kind of lost it in a way that was self-deprecating.
And I'm using losing it. When you first told me about it, in my head, I assumed you were like, you like literally broke down at the table and you were like, I don't want to play this anymore. I'm grouchy and grumpy.
No, I try pretty hard to avoid that situation because of this time I'm about to tell you about, which was...
Story time.
Used to play games after work at a previous job, and it was always like late at night, and it was super fun. And we had a whole bunch of people. We were playing Cosmic Encounter, a game of shifting alliances where you might be teaming up with people to get colonies on their planets, and then, you know, first to five colonies on five different planets outside of your system. This is so much.
My number two game on my list.
Yeah, Cosmic's great. You know, you win, and you can have shared wins. However, in this play, it had nothing to do with the sort of diplomacy of, like, getting alliances and breaking alliances that got me. There were two simultaneous questions happening at one time, and I was getting it from two different people, and they were overlapping questions, and I was trying to answer one, and someone's asking me about another thing, and I answered one, and I answered it wrong. Fully admit, I was wrong. But the other question I was right on, but I was getting pushback on my answers for both of them, and it was happening at the same time, and I just had to stop. And I was like, this isn't fun for me. I just want to leave. This is so annoying, and... I feel really bad about it because one of my friend's brothers was there playing with us for the first time, and I threw a little hissy fit about how not fun it was, and I just wanted to take my ball and go home. And I felt so bad about being an ungracious host, even though we were playing at the place of work. You know, it's my game. I invited people out to play.
They weren't playing it my way. I'm going to take my ball and go home.
Yeah, basically. And I... felt so shameful about it afterwards. I did make a joke and say, like, oh, great way to welcome a new person to the table and stuff like that. And we finished the game and it was fine. But I've kind of held that experience with me this almost like 8 years later, probably, of just like, hey, don't be that person. Don't, you don't need to let the little bits and bobs on the table dictate your temperament at the table that much. It's like, it's just a stupid game. We can take deep breaths, we can take our time, we can find answers. I don't know why it feels so heated in the moment. I know people who have done probably way worse than that. The other time, which I did keep my cool, was when we were playing Concordia and we were doing the scoring, and our friend, shout out Ken, was scoring his own game instead of scoring it collectively at the end as a sort of group activity. He was just going his own way. Ken is an agent of chaos. He knows this. We love you, Ken.
He does not find doing the points after the game fun. That is not his version of fun.
Yeah.
So he's just going to rack up the points.
Yeah. Whereas, like, it was, you know, in my mind, this is the denouement of the game where we're just like, all right, let's see how we did, because you don't keep track of the score during the game, you score it at the end, so you get to see everyone's scores go up together and say, oh my gosh, what's gonna happen, the suspense build. And Ken's just like, nope, that's my score, before anyone else has scored anything. It's like, oh my god, you have just, there's a term called the magic circle, and it's been broken. The sort of illusion of our activity has been shattered, and you know, it kind of made for a disappointing end to the game.
I mean, I was with you on that. That I love that point bit at the end, because you said it builds up. You can see your little markers move little by little, and like you're head to head with someone, but if someone's already like, nope, bam, here's me, you're like, well, I know how far I have to get now. If I'm in front of him, then he can't catch up. It kind of,
yeah,
slides are fun.
Yeah, and even last night, like, you had a ton of in-game points in the game, and I had a ton of end-game points, and slowly I was, like, catching up, and we didn't really know what was going to happen until, like, we scored, like, the resources, which is what put me past you. I had 2 points in resources, and that's what kind of put me past you. We're going to do a quick reset here. So you're listening to 90.7 KBOO Portland. If you're just tuning in, I'm Nate, here with James, and this is Winner's Bias, a show about the board gaming hobby. We're talking about Nate's board game weekend and what games do to us.
That reset wasn't as fun as last time's reset.
I'm sorry, but...
Do better work.
But we're in March. I don't need to spruce up how bad February makes me feel, although this past February didn't make me feel bad, except it made me feel bad in a very different way, because, oh my gosh... are we in trouble?
But then also, this is another episode of being grouchy. This is 2 grouchy ones, one after the other.
I did think about that, but we're going to pivot here, James. Well, actually, I want to know, since you're a video gamer.
Oh, yes.
Have you thrown a controller?
I have almost thrown one once. I am a very, not to toot my own horn, I'm a very chill guy. I am very... easy going, and I go with the flow. But there is this game. It's a very well-known game in video games. You might even know it, because it started off as...
Super Mario Brothers.
Yes. No, it started off as a Flash game on the computers. Now that Flash game's dead. It's so sad. It's called Trials HD.
Nope.
You're on like a little motorbike, and you've got to go over like bumps and like tires and things.
So it's Excitebike.
Kind of, but it's like tracks that are like designed in a way like a puzzle, like you have to like move your bike in a way to get over high jumps and things. And I got to all the way to... this game is designed to be hard. It's hard to get to the end. I got right to the end, to the last track, got to like the last obstacle right at the end, and then as I was just about to do it, this is the first time I've ever gotten this far after hours and hours and hours of playing this game, I accidentally hit the back button on my controller that resets you back to the beginning of the track. And I've never been more angry in my life. I had the controller in my hand, and I was like in the air of it, and I was like, this is my only controller. If I break it, this would be worse. I had like a minute of like, I can't actually do that, but it's the worst feeling. I'm still angry about it. I'm still furious at it.
Well, do you think you're mad because it was your fault?
It was, yes, 100% my fault. And you know what? I never got that close again. I think I stopped playing after that. I was like, I'm not doing it anymore.
See, now you know how I feel about my board game app that tracks my scores. I had tracked thousands of games. Well, maybe over 1,000 games. And then it crashed. Well, wiped out all my data. And I can't start again, James, because it's too sad to know what's missing.
I know. I need to just start it. It's the saddest part is now all my wins aren't on it. And that's the saddest part.
It's true.
Of the whole story.
Yeah, it's true.
The only time I've been that angry at a video game. Because I'm good.
Thank you for sharing. You're welcome, James.
Therapy session.
We're going to turn it positive now. We're going to pivot to positive, okay? Again, pivot to positive. I like the peas. Yeah, the peas. Hopefully the listener is like the peas, and I'm talking using the mic right now, and I'm not popping too hard. So the board game weekend, I wasn't super excited about it. It was a very stressful week leading up to it, and turns out it was exactly what I needed in my life at that time. It was great to be with a whole bunch of friends playing games. I hadn't played a ton of games this year. And what I found was it's just really cool when you encounter a game system that's familiar, but like a really unique twist on things. And there were 2 games that just kind of blew my mind a little bit. And it's very rare for me to be like, I want to own that one anymore. I have a collection of about 100 games with some expansions and whatnot. And I'm not really in the market for adding too many games to it. I have a very small want list, but these 2 games instantly jumped onto it because they were just so cool. One of them was Kutnohara, about like building up the town of Kutnohora in, I think it's the Czech Republic. I'm not exactly sure where it is. I know
you say that like you're asking me. I don't know. I wasn't there.
Well, you're a man of the world.
I'm a well-traveled man.
Yeah. But basically, you are you're building buildings. On the board, there's ways to score points. It's like, if you describe it, it sounds very familiar. But
I thought you were going to say boring, and I was going to be like, that's all board games, honestly.
But the, it's true. That's not true.
It's hard
to
describe board games.
But there's this really cool market. You don't have any resources. Like, you just have money, and there's, like, cards that make the resources, but it's a shifting market. So things will get more expensive as resources get used. Things will get cheaper as they be, or no, things get cheaper as the market floods with things, and they get more expensive as it becomes less common to have. So everyone's got different areas that they are working in. So you might be the miner, you might be the butcher, you might be the lumber guy, and when you build buildings, it changes the market. Cards flip around. And it was just like a really cool system that's just like, oh, we're all interconnected here. And just you're all building up the town together. It's like kind of collaborative, but not. And it was just a really neat game. And I definitely want to play it again and not have someone who was in my same industry tank our industry because they didn't quite understand that they were tanking our industry. I didn't really know they were tanking our industry. Someone else was like, he's tanking your industry. That's why you can't make any money.
Is he doing that on purpose?
No, it was each of our first games.
So he just didn't realize he was doing
it. Yeah, he didn't realize it. And he was, after that, he enjoyed the game enough to be like, hey, leave it here, because people were leaving. And leave it here. I might want to play it again. So it was a really good game. A lot of fun.
You said these games felt like you had played the same kind of game before, like helped you remember the other games. What similar games is the word I was looking for? Similar.
Well,
I got to it in the end.
It's just like systems that are, it's like, you know, you need resources to buy stuff to put stuff on the board. Okay. And so it's like similar resources, but done in a wholly unique way. Like this other game, Nippon, there's a new release of Nippon. It's a game that takes place in Japan, sort of industrializing Japan. And it's got a really cool system of, you know, there's workers on the board, and you select them from the action slots that you want to do. And then the action slots empty, you put more workers on the board, so the workers coming out are sort of a round tracker. And just the way you have to pay all the different colors of worker you collect. So you don't want to be too diverse, but also you might have to be, because there might not be the color worker you need in the action spot you need. And it's just a really neat system of action selection that I hadn't seen before. And it's not terribly complicated. The first play, you know, there was a learning curve. My second play went a lot better. But it was just like, oh, wow, people are so clever. They're just so clever, James. And you think like, oh, no, board games are all just iteration, and they are. But then every now and then you're like, yeah, but this iteration was really good. It was really neat.
Has the iterations of these games hit their peak now? Like, now you're like, oh, I love this version of this style of games. Can it be topped?
That's a great question.
Thank you.
One of the reasons that I feel pretty set in my collection is, like, I have the few worker placement games that I really like. I don't need to own too many other games like that because, you know, I have Nosfjord, and I have Agricola, and I have Barrage, and, like, those niches are filled. And so I don't go seeking out games that I'm already like, well, this is one of the best of its oeuvre.
You and your fancy words today.
Yeah,
going very French.
I came with my smart guy hat on.
Your English to French dictionary.
I came with my smart guy chapeau on.
Not a fan.
But yeah, so I feel like I have most of what I need in my collection, but every now and then you're like, oh, this is doing something wholly unique. And that's awesome. It's like the process of discovery. I'm a huge movie fan. I'm always chasing the dragon of like watching a movie that's going to blow my mind. Or same with like listening to music. You always want to find a band that's going to blow your mind. And the more you engage with something, the fewer and further between that is, because you are probably a little bit jaded because you've experienced so much mediocre stuff. But also, you've already found a whole bunch of amazing stuff, and your standards just get so much higher for mind-blowing.
I feel like also if you're searching for your mind to be blown in music, movies, or board games, it's harder for your mind to get blown because you're setting your mind up higher.
Yeah.
If you just go in like, ah, I'm just going to... My heart might be full in these games, like you said before, and then you get surprised with the games even more.
Yeah, definitely. And we're going to have to go out on that. Thank you all for listening to Winner's Bias. If you would like to comment on the show, have any questions, or suggest discussion topics, you can email us at winnersbias@kbu.org. And you can find us on Instagram at winnersbias. I'm Nate.
And I'm James. We want to remind you that KBU is a volunteer-powered community platform. That means we are funded by you, the listener. Just go to kbu.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. And remember, it's not about the games you play, but how you stifle your meltdown until after the game is finished. Have a good one.
You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM.
Coming Monday, March 16th at 11 p.m., Gremlin Time presents a suspense double feature.
You're alone and unarmed in the green hell of a Caribbean jungle. You're being trailed by a mad hunter who believes...